Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is called The Coffee Table or La Mesita del Comedor, directed by Ki Casas. Oh, Corey, this is going to be fun.
Dude, you wrote all these like intricate notes and you're fucking it up already.
Of course, because I can't. My brain works too fast for my mouth. That's the problem. And I just go blah, 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 and I just start fucking everything up. So, directed by Ki Casas, written by Christina Borobia and Ki Casas, starring David Pareja as Jesus, Estefania de los Santos as Maria, and Josep Maria Raera. Oh, wow. Okay, whatever. I got it. I think I got it. As Carlos.
Yeah, you did good.
I did mid.
Okay. I was trying to give you some words of encouragement. And
you know what? I'll take those words of encouragement. You usually troll me all the time, so thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. We'll change it up just for
okay.
now.
For now. Okay.
Don't
the plot
get used
of this
it.
Movie. What's that?
I said, don't get used to it.
Don't get used to it. Damn, man. The plot of this movie is Jesus and Maria are a couple going through a difficult time in their relationship. Nevertheless, they have just become parents. To shape their new life, they decide to buy a new coffee table, a decision that will change their existence. But before we get into it, Corey, last night I was looking in the mirror, and you know what? My beard was looking gnarly. And I said to myself, I can't look like this. I gotta do something. So I decided to break out Beard Octane's beard wash and conditioner along with their beard oil, and dude, my beard looked amazing. I'm glad you turned me on to Beard Octane.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I've been using their products for years and I can vouch for them. And whether you're pounding IPAs or chopping wood, you got to look your best. Visit beardoctane.com and use the code 30screams10 at checkout for a 10% discount. It helps us. And like I said, the products are absolutely incredible. They're local too. They're based out of Connecticut. So help them out and support small businesses. We're not just slinging beard grooming supplies. We've been using them for a while.
Yeah, we have. With that said, 30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of The Coffee Table?
So I had been hearing rumblings of this upcoming movie because I don't think it's out in the States yet, but it will be sometime in May, I think.
Yeah.
Anyways, I wanted to track it down, so I got in touch with the distributors and was able to get us a screener copy to watch. And holy shit, man, I was at a loss for words when this movie ended. I thought I told you, I did tell you actually, that I wasn't able to rate this right away after I watched it because I was gutted.
Flabbergasted?
Flabbergasted. Speechless.
Speechless.
Absolutely, you know, pretty good words to describe it. One of my favorite things about this movie is how misleading the title is. Because I'm hearing this movie called The Coffee Table, and it's like this fucking violent horror movie, and it's messing people up, like, mentally and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what the hell could a movie about the coffee table? Like, how is that going to fuck people up? Oh boy, they did a great job of explaining it.
Yeah, dude, this movie completely different than what I expected. So when you hear The Coffee Table, immediately, like for horror, immediately you think, okay, maybe it's some sort of ancient coffee table that's carried on through generations and it's got like some sort of weird aura to it or something, right? It's cursed. Immediately you think that. But you send me the trailer and it's like some shit that looks like straight out of a slasher film with like blood everywhere, a knife, and all sorts of stuff. So I'm like, I don't even know what this movie is about now. So now we get into it, and this table, this coffee table, is something that you borderline buy at IKEA. This guy's carrying up the stairs like, pivot! Pivot!
and pivot! They buy it from a Ron Jeremy looking ass guy at a furniture store at an IKEA, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, it's from Sweden. Sweden, I think. Yeah, I think it was Sweden because that's pretty much where IKEA is from anyways. That's where it's originated. Same deal. You have to put the shit together. It comes in a box. That's what this coffee table was. The wife didn't like it. He loved it. And he's like, you know, I need to have at least one thing. And he decided to get this friggin' ridiculous coffee table. And let me tell you, glass tables are never a good idea, in my opinion. They fucking break and it's done. And now you're like, fuck, I can't fix this. It's glass.
Yes. Yeah. And you learn the hard way in this movie that that is all very true.
Yeah. Oh, my
so
God.
So my question is, though, like, when Jesus is putting this table together, he's going to secure the glass on top of the table, but he's missing one screw to secure it. So he calls the Ron Jeremy guy. That's what I'm going to call him.
Sure.
To get the screw. And he's demanding this guy bring this screw to his apartment. Just, like, deliver him a single screw. But, like, yeah, all of this stuff happens, like, all the bad shit happens before he even puts a screw in. Like, the table, the glass is just sitting on top of the table at this point. It's not secured.
Right. Yeah. So here's what I was thinking. It's like the whole thing's not secured by one screw. You would think missing just one screw would still have some stability to it, but not, obviously, it's not all the way. Because I have shit that's like put together that's missing one fucking wooden, one of those wooden things.
Dowel.
Dowel, thank you. Like one wooden dowel's missing and it's fine. It's not perfect, but it's fine. It works. But that's also wood. It's not glass. Glass could be very brittle. Even though this Ron Jeremy looking guy said this glass is unbreakable. So my question is, because I don't think he was crazy. Obviously, this is just a regular ass table that you buy at like IKEA. Like, it doesn't have any sort of past. It's not evil. It's not this. It's not that. It's just a regular ass coffee table that's weird looking. So the baby's crying, and here's what I'm thinking, because you don't see what happens. It just happens. You hear the glass shatter like it's fucking Stone Cold Steve Austin, and then all hell breaks loose.
So I won't lie, man. When that all happened, I had to rewind it because I wasn't sure. And then they did that long, because you, like you said, you don't see it happen. You're seeing Jesus walking around with this baby in his arms, and the camera's panning out down a hallway, and all of a sudden you hear a glass shatter, like Steve Austin's coming out. And then the camera zooms in to where Jesus is, and you just see the coffee table with fucking blood all over it. And as soon as that happened, I was like, oh no. Did an infant just get beheaded? What happened.
Sure enough, I was having a hard time seeing specifically what happened. There was just a shit ton of blood, but that's what happened. Got a freaking decapitated baby. Head went rolling. Don't know where. We find out later where it went. But
we do.
Yeah. So I don't think he fucking took this baby and yeeted it through the table. Like, because the baby was crying and, you know, he's trying to calm the baby down. And it's not like he just freaking spiked this thing like a football or anything like that. Here's what I'm thinking, because he didn't trip. If he tripped, you would have seen him on the ground too, and like on top of the baby, and it would have been worse. Like, he would have been cut up all sorts of crazy. I think he maybe put the baby down on the table for a second, and because the baby's screaming all this, and he's probably thinking, oh, this glass is unbreakable, I'll put the baby down here for a second just so I can like get it adjusted or whatever. I'm just thinking like possible scenarios, because they don't really show any sort of scenario.
They don't show it, and I think that was the director's intention, because you can interpret it many different ways, like you just did.
Yeah,
like I think he just tripped on something and went through the table.
Okay. Which is fair.
Because they don't show any of it. So you can sort of figure out how it happened, you know?
Yeah, and the way I think of it is that this is some IKEA-type material. So he put the baby down on the table for a second, and then the thing shattered under the weight of a friggin' baby, and just the baby's head got lopped off. That's my guess. So that's what you're trying to say, is that it's open for interpretation. So whether the baby was yeeted through the table, or he fell, or he dropped the baby, or even just put the baby down on the table and it was just a cheap fucking table. You don't know, but I think that was the idea of the director, was to convey that, to just be like, okay, the glass shattered. There's a dead baby. Figure it out. So, dude, this movie is, it just spirals into worse and worse and worse and worse. And, but we didn't talk about this pivotal thing with this little girl neighbor.
Fucking
right?
Maniac.
Maniac. Sociopath. Absolute sociopath.
Dude, and so, she's, what they say, she's like 13 and she's trying to manipulate this dude.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And immediately I'm thinking, like, as soon as I heard it, I'm like, oh no, please don't tell me he did something with the neighbor. Because I'm thinking this movie, The Coffee Table, that it's some sort of like weird movie where there's like a shit ton of bad stuff happening, not just this one instance. I'm thinking it's like supposed to be all this stuff still. And to hear that little girl being like, what about last night in the elevator? I'm like, oh no. Oh no.
Yeah. And Jesus is like, nah, man, that didn't happen.
Yeah. And so she's trying to say these things all like, let's run away together. I know you don't like your wife. I'll fuck you like every day.
And then she says,
Jesus.
She said, you tell her before the end of the day or I will or something like that.
Yeah.
Which happens, like she comes back at the end of the movie and she's the reason all the shit goes fucking crazy at the end.
Oh my God, does it go crazy? It is so bad. It is awful. It is just like, do you ever see the meme of Childish Gambino or Donald Glover? No, Danny Glover.
Donald.
Which one is it? Donald. Different. Thank you. Donald.
Danny Glover's from Lethal Weapon.
I get the two names mixed up.
They're two different people.
They are two different people, but they're both D's and the last name is Glover. So it happens.
Danny Glover doesn't rap, dude.
You don't know that.
I wish he did, actually.
I think he does. I bet he does.
Him and Detective Murtaugh.
Oh, God, please. I'll take that all day.
Album?
Yep. Lethal Weapon 6, the album.
I love it.
Just straight fire the whole time. I would love it. But they're both saying they're too old for this shit, yet they're dropping verses.
Basically, anyways, the movies.
The meme where Donald Glover is coming back from God knows where and he's holding pizza and the whole house is on fire and, you know, people are going crazy. You've seen this, like, gif everywhere.
I don't think I have.
No?
No.
Oh, I'll send it to you later, but okay. I believe it's from the show Community. So I haven't watched Community. I just know that he's in that show and he had the same look. So I'm thinking, okay, it's probably that show.
But you have to watch Community. It's so amazing.
I hear good things.
I've free watched it several times.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
Is it one of those shows you kind of put on before bed? It's like filler type fucking show. You know, like you could put on Friends at night, right? And you watch an episode and then you go to bed and everything's fine. It's a fucking sitcom.
Yeah, I guess you could say that because every episode's sort of different, you know?
Okay. So like the Office.
Short episodes.
Too.
Yeah,
half
it's
hour,
The Office,
banger.
Parks and Rec.
Yeah, they're all
like
kind of that.
That
same feel. All right. Yeah, I'll have to check that out. I mean, I've heard good things. I just never dove into it.
That's one you got to watch.
All right, I'll watch that. Well, first it's Suits because I'm on season 7. Next is Fallout, and then I'll hop on over to Community.
Okay. Right. Well, Community will be a way easier watch than what you're watching now.
Oh, my God, yeah. This is taking a while. It's a commitment every single night.
Weren't there like 12 seasons or something?
8 seasons.
8? Okay, so you're almost done.
I'm almost done. Like, give me a week and I'm done. I'll be fucking ready to go into the next thing. So, yeah, we're still talking about this movie. Now, I wanted to, like, bring this up because this movie is supposed to be a horror movie, but would you still feel that this falls under a horror movie? Because it feels like to me that it's almost more like a drama because scary shit isn't happening. Like it all revolves around a dead child and the grief and like the trials, tribulations, all that stuff that's happening to this father in that span of time. And it doesn't really feel like it falls under horror territory to me. What do you think?
I think it does simply because of what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't hear about a baby getting beheaded in a drama or a romance. You know what I mean?
No rom-com baby beheadings?
I don't think that has ever happened. If it has, please tweet us and let us know if we're wrong.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely hit us up and let us know if there's like this rom-com where babies are getting beheaded. Because we'll review a special episode rom-com edition of 30 Screams Less.
But I particularly love, like, right after how this baby gets beheaded, Jesus kind of, he goes into full-on, like, tailspin denial mode. Like, he's kind of trying to ignore the fact that the baby's dead.
Right.
He even goes as far as to wrap the baby up in, like, a blanket and bring it to the nursery there and, like, try to put it to bed. He changes the baby's diapers while it's dead, mm-hmm. even though it's permanently sleeping.
Yeah, it's very
sleepy. He changes
the
baby's diaper.
Very sleepy. So, what we didn't mention, though, is during all of this, like, insanity. The wife, Maria, decided she was going to go to the store, pick up some wine, because later on, the brother and his new girlfriend are actually going to be coming over for lunch. So he's just by himself with the child for, like, I swear, a half hour, and then chaos happens. It's absolute chaos.
Yeah, oh. Like all this shit happens. He puts the baby down and then he decides he's going to try and clean up all the blood that's in the carpet.
Mm-hmm.
So then he goes downstairs to the little girl's, you know, Ruth is her name. He goes down to where she lives and asks the mother for cleaning supplies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Ruth's grilling him again about telling his wife.
Ruth always grilling him. She just wants to be with him, and it's so fucking sick. But little girls, they can get those crushes from what I've seen. You know, I mean, not for me personally, but you hear about it all the time. But I think a lot of people even like that. Even like young boys get like these big crushes on their teachers or something like that. So it happens. These kids, they think they're in love with someone older, but it's really just they don't know how to control their feelings. I think that's one of the cases here. The girl's 13. She doesn't know what the fuck she wants. She thinks she wants that, but it's not the logical thing to do, obviously. And this guy is lying to them the whole time, saying that he's painting the house red, which who the fuck does that? Who paints like a bedroom red?
He goes downstairs to get cleaning supplies while wearing the hoodie he was wearing when he fell through a table with his son in him.
Yeah.
On him. Mm-hmm. And it was a gray sweatshirt and it's all covered in blood. But he's telling this girl's mother that it's paint.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, OK, that's not a problem.
Yeah.
It looked like blood.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, who freaking gets themselves that messy with paint? I know paint can be quite messy, but that's like belligerent. If you're getting that covered in red paint, you might need to think of either another profession or hiring a professional.
Right.
Yeah, because he was
How much of it's actually making it on the fucking wall?
Yeah, exactly. Like half a canister or, yeah, half can of paint was basically on him because of this baby. I'm surprised the baby's head wasn't squirting, by the way. They should have thrown that in for added fun.
Little faucet there.
Yeah, a little faucet, speaking of faucet, a little dripping faucet later on.
That was a cool touch. It was really cool touch.
Yes, because it was cool because she's hearing this dripping sound over the baby monitor. Marie is hearing the sound because she came back. Somehow, Jesus was able to hide it, saying like, oh, I put the baby down. It's tired. Don't see him. Just let him sleep. And he's trying to stop her like any way he can. She goes in the room and he's like, no, don't bother him. And because like he cut her off before she can even see that there is a mess of a baby. What's left of a baby in that crib. So the monitor is picking up the baby's blood dripping. And yeah, I thought that was a cool touch too, because she's just like, what's dripping in there? And fucking figures out. I don't remember what he did though about it. I think he just unplugged the baby monitor, right? It was something like that. Yeah, that was just the easier thing to do. And then she mentioned later to check on the baby monitor.
Go
ahead.
I got to ask though, when you hear that noise on the baby monitor, did you immediately know what that sound was? I kind of suspected that that's exactly what it was going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
see it till he goes to the room. So
yeah, I had a feeling it was something like that, but I wasn't 100% sure because I'm thinking like maybe I honestly don't know what I was thinking. I had that idea like, is the baby dripping? And lo and behold, you go in and that baby is dripping right through that crib, like just soaking in the crib. And that baby got friggin' annihilated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Infant Annihilator, like that band.
Oh.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So baby's super dead, dripping. At this point,
D-E-D.
D-E-D, like uppercase, all caps, D-E-D, dead.
Very D-E-D.
Very dead. Very, very dead. So the brother and his girlfriend or fiance, I don't remember if like they were fiance or I think it was just girlfriend. Partner. We'll go partner because I think they even mentioned partner anyways. So they actually come by for a nice little brunch. You know, they're having some champagne not just wine. They're having wine. Champagne's for celebrating. This is no reason to celebrate that a baby's head is cut off.
Well, they don't know yet that the baby's dead.
They find out later. So yeah, they're just having lunch. And Jesus is not doing too well. He is sweating. He is like freaking out. He's having a hard time eating. Meanwhile, Maria is enjoying her food. Carlos is, you know, with his partner. They're enjoying food. He's a mess. Jesus is an absolute mess. And then he starts hallucinating a little bit, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's just like slowly spiraling out because he's got all this guilt.
Mm hmm. Exactly. He's got all this guilt and he's automatically thinking all these things in his head. And can you blame him? The guy frigging accidentally killed a child. Now, this wouldn't be so bad. I mean, obviously, killing baby, super bad. Real bad.
Well, he was also hearing coffee table advertisements on the baby monitor.
Yeah, I know. So he's going into depravity at this time. He's just completely losing all sense of sanity because obviously he's got way too much on his mind over this whole baby being murdered. So he's freaking out and he's trying to keep his composure. And they're obviously seeing that like something's wrong with him. And he's just like, I don't feel good. I can't eat. And he steps away, but not before like they actually go to the baby's playroom. Ketanin, how do you pronounce the baby's name?
Ketanin or something.
Yeah, something like that. Actually, we're calling him
Kay.
Dead baby. Dead baby.
The dead baby. Name doesn't matter. He's dead.
Well, yeah. Okay. He died within the first few minutes. He's borderline. Doesn't even deserve a name. That's fucked up. I'm sorry. He's just a dead baby. He's D-E-D dead. So. they're showing him the playroom. And there's some cool shit in here, man. You must have been freaking out seeing, like, all this Ninja Turtle shit.
I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah. Ninja Turtle action figure. But I got real mad when his brother picked up the fucking X-Wing and he goes, look, it's a... What'd he say? This is a spaceship?
Yeah.
He calls it a spaceship. Like, asshole has a name. It's an X-Wing.
What a fucking kicked him in the nuts. How dare you?
He should have gone through the coffee table.
Yeah. He should have gone through the coffee table head first.
Same with fucking Maria. She should have gone through it, too.
She sucked. Oh, I hated her.
She just belittles Jesus the whole time, even before she knows what he did.
She's the worst. Absolute worst. She, like, clearly he's the one that, like, can't speak up for himself. That or he's completely checked out in this relationship, and they just have a baby together now, and he's basically stuck. He feels stuck. That's what I'm thinking for this guy.
Well,
because he's clearly with someone who sucks. She sucks.
I'm pretty sure he was thinking about killing her at one point, too, when they were making lunch. Did you notice that?
I didn't, actually.
So he had the knife in his hand.
Oh.
And he kind of, Maria starts walking away, and he holds the knife. Like, you can see his fist clench a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like he's going to go after her.
That's right. That was in the trailer. So I couldn't tell whether that was like in the trailer, I couldn't tell it was like a murder thing or whatever. But yeah, I do remember that now that he's like holding this thing and he's ready to friggin' do something. Because at this point, you're just trying to think of every option that you have available in your brain while trying to process this whole fucking lunacy. So I do know that like towards the beginning, well, actually after it happened, he was about to yeet himself off the balcony, which is important to remember. Because it comes into play later on in the movie.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah. So it's it's pretty crazy later on. We're getting to it, though. So, we're at this point. They're in the baby's playroom. There's all these fucking 80s toys. The whole thing's decked out in 80s stuff. Carlos's partner is talking about Stranger Things and stuff. I'm like, oh, that's a cool reference. Okay. I'm surprised they were able to throw that in, but why not? So they're talking about all this stuff. He's still struggle bussing. They end up going, I think, back out to the kitchen, and Jesus is like, I got to go to the bathroom. He goes to the bathroom. And then you start hearing him talk, leaving basically a suicide note on his phone. And you could tell right away that this was a straight up suicide note because he fucked up and he doesn't know what to do and he doesn't want her to see the baby like this or anything. He couldn't even tell her. He couldn't tell her that what he did, so he thought it would just be easier to unalive himself.
Yeah, that's where we're going here. And then the brother walks in.
Mm-hmm. The brother hears the whole thing. And here's where Jesus drops the bombshell. And this guy is a solid-ass brother. You can tell that is a brother who is clearly there for you. And he sees the baby, and he's just like, we got to do something about this. A real brother does that. A fake brother is like, you fucking killed this baby. I'm going to tell your wife. That's not a brother. That's not family. Family is like, okay, let me help. Let's figure this out. We'll do something. We'll get past this. Supportive. He's being a supportive brother. Awesome brother. And he was going to tell Maria until the little girl comes back into play.
Ruth comes and fucks everything up. Once and for all.
Oh, my God. Ruth decides she's going to come in and try to tell. Actually, no, she does tell Maria what's going on. And at this point, Jesus is in the kitchen. Oh, my God. Corey, this is like a dumpster fire of a scene. Like,
it is.
It couldn't get any worse.
So we forgot to mention Ruth has a dog, and the dog's name is Nicholas.
This is important, too. Go ahead. Explain it.
So yeah, Ruth comes in to break the whole story down and tell Maria what she thinks that happened between her and Jesus. And Nicholas the dog finds the baby's head under the chair.
Mm-hmm.
Pulls the chair out, and the dog is white, and dog wasn't white anymore after it found the head, and then everyone starts freaking out because now the dog has a fucking head in its mouth.
Yeah. Okay, so he grabbed the head from the dog, and he's holding it in his hands like a softball. You know.
Yep.
Like he just caught a softball at a freaking local game, whatever.
It was a 2-day-old baby head.
Yeah, it's a 2-day-old baby head in his hands, and Maria wants to see it. So, obviously, Ruth's fucking in the kitchen freaking out, and she said, you know, yelled out, baby, and Carlos's partner, she's throwing up. Jesus is, like, completely shocked. He doesn't know what the hell to do. Maria's screaming, crying. Carlos is the only one that is remotely kept together at this point, but he literally, like, later on just ends up going insane. So, he's holding a baby's head. She wants to see it. She's screaming. She grabs the head, heads to the balcony. So then the next thing we see, though, is the cops all show up and they mention it's a murder-suicide.
Yep, both of them went.
Both of them went. So we know Maria yeeted herself off the balcony because she went to the balcony with the head and we didn't see anything otherwise. What I didn't know is Jesus clearly killed himself because that obviously that wouldn't have been referenced, but we didn't even see that either. So now this is another instance where it's open for interpretation on what he did.
They're saving it for the sequel.
Oh, yeah. I think there's going to be a sequel. Coffee Table 2. This time, it's serious.
I'm surprised you didn't say Electric Boogaloo.
I should have. Coffee Table 2. Electric Boogaloo.
It all rhymes, right?
It's great. I love it. Every time you say, I have to say 2, I say Electric Boogaloo. I get it from Tony Danza Tap Dance Extravaganza.
Because
it's Danza 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Yep.
So I just throw it in every single time. So,
but yeah, I thought it was cool. And the way the camera pans out towards the end after we see the two deaths, the closing shot of the whole family.
Yep.
It was a pretty nice touch there on a tragic movie.
Yeah. That scene was pure chaos. The camera work and everything being like just honed in on everyone, showing absolute madness. And you kind of have to do that when you're trying to film a like chaotic scene is really be up and close to really see like the reactions of people. Because if you were to do it from far away, like you would take a widescreen shot, it doesn't resonate the same. It's you need to have that closeness. So you're like in there with the insanity. So Carlos's partner, she's in shock. And Carlos is in the cop car. He's in the back seat. And the whole time, all he's saying is the coffee table, the coffee table, the coffee table. And that's it. He clearly goes nuts. The brother's dead. Partner's fucking in a catatonic shock, whatever. Mother's dead. Baby clearly double dead at this point. So it is just an absolute... Ruth, I don't know. Ruth probably went on to do something fucking crazy. Who knows? She's probably in a mental institution too. It's a crazy scene, crazy movie, crazy ending. I loved it. I thought it was great. Heads up though, people. This movie is in Spanish. Every
More
single
like
word
heads
of
off.
It. Heads, oh, ba-dum-tsh. I gotta get a good ba-dum-tsh.
Yeah.
I'll throw that in there. Oh, man, that was good. More like heads off. Great. Oh, Corey, that was good. So
I'm here all day.
Yep. Tip your bartenders. All that good stuff. So, yeah, this movie was great. Everyone, it's in Spanish. Throw your subtitles on. That way you can figure out what the hell they're saying. Otherwise, you're just going to be... Well, you won't be lost because you can still understand the insanity that everyone's going through because I think that transcends speech. Like, you didn't. I mean, it could have been a silent film and you could have known what the hell was going on. Because
that might be interesting to watch it on mute.
Yeah. Think about that. See if, like, you watch it. Like, it might be spoiled for us because we already know kind of what they're saying and stuff. But I think it'd be an interesting thing to try. Watch a movie completely mute, see if you can actually understand what the movie's saying without hearing what they're saying. I think it could be cool. Could be a cool experiment.
You should watch Oppenheimer on mute.
Oh, God. Okay. You would probably love that.
No.
You'd just be like, you know, just a bunch of people on screen having weird sex scenes, just walking around. That's all it would be.
Nah.
And then a quiet bomb goes off.
I'll take it back. I don't want that. Nope.
You don't want that?
No.
Oh, come on. You know you want that.
Nope.
You really do hate that movie.
I fucking hate it so much.
All right. Well, with that said, Corey, What do you give the coffee table / La Mesita del Comedor?
So this is an easy 5 out of 5. Like I said before, I digested this for about 24 hours before I could give it a proper rating. I don't know why it took me that long, because it was perfect in every single way.
Yeah.
I love this movie so much. It is worth all the hype that it's been getting, and then people really need to see it when it's available, wherever it's available when it comes out in the States. Like we talked about before, like, the plot is something you don't really see in films. It's a really, really touchy subject. A lot of film companies and producers, directors, they don't want to go to a fucking decapitating a baby. You don't see it.
No, absolutely not. That's taboo.
Yeah, I mean, the story was told perfectly throughout all aspects. The character building, all that shit was perfect. The acting from everyone was awesome. The score, cinematography, everything was amazing. I don't have any complaints about this movie whatsoever. None. It was perfect.
Yeah, no complaints. I feel the same way. I'm actually going to go with a 5 out of 5 for this one. I was engaged the whole time. The story was super unique, like you said. There's a lot I noted about this movie that I wanted to talk about, and I kept asking, what's next? Which means I was really wanting to see more, and I was really invested in this insanity. Initially, I thought this was going to be some sort of weird ancient table with dark powers, but this seems to be more like the father dropped the baby through the table and it got decapitated, which honestly is more of a horrific accident over an intentional murder. So I don't think this, obviously, that none of this was planned. He didn't do this on purpose, nothing like that. This has to be a pure mistake, like a horrific accident. I do, however, believe this also could have worked as a short film, where some parts probably could have been cut and trimmed to be less than an hour, but the parts in reference didn't make the movie drag on by any means. I'm more saying if they wanted to make it a short film, then all they needed to do was cut a few parts. But I'm not saying it was too long. I'm just saying that it honestly could have gone either way. I mean, what do you think about that? Like, that could have worked as a short film, too. They could have just cut off a few scenes. Like, one of the scenes where the husband was talking to the friend of Maria. That didn't even need to be in there. There was no reason for it, honestly. That could have been cut off. Other things could have been cut off to make it a short film.
I don't know, man. I like the way that it was structured. I think everything worked perfectly. And I don't know. Like I said, I wouldn't change anything about it.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't change anything either. I'm saying, like, if they wanted to go that route, easy fixes. And it would have still been awesome. Yeah, I thought this was great. Well, we clearly both thought this was great. 5 out of 5, easy. This thing is wild. I'm looking on IMDb, by the way. It says 2022. So maybe it's just finally getting distribution now?
Yeah, I think I read something along those lines that we just couldn't get it distributed in the U.S. And I'm sure it has to do with a baby getting decapitated.
Yeah, that's not an easy ask. Like, hey, let's throw this on our streaming service, like Netflix. Netflix is going to go, I don't know if we want dead headless babies on our platform, but who knows? They have all these documentaries about sex workers, but they draw the line at decapitated babies. That's Netflix. That's Netflix.
That's where they drew the line.
Yep. I don't know. Netflix is weird. I also don't even really want... No, correction. I watch Netflix like crazy now because I'm trying to blow through Suits. So, but I don't usually watch it all that much. 5 out of 5. We thought this movie was great. Definitely check it out when it comes out.
It just had like a premiere in like theater somewhere in like Spain, I believe.
All right. Yeah. And we got an early viewing of it on our end. So that's why we're kind of reviewing it. We wanted to talk about it. When we got it, we're like, yeah, let's check it out. And it's a fucking banger. It's an absolute banger of a movie. So if you can stomach the idea of a headless baby for an hour and a half, definitely watch it. It's a good watch. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30ScreamsOrLess.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out BeardOctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30Screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30screamsorless. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps go in towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.